Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to a show. It's a review of Battleground while another show is happening. We won't talk about that, at least minimally, but it's happening right now. I don't know if you know, but there's a different thing happening right now, but there was another thing that happened just recently. It's fine. It's over now. It's NXT Battleground happened earlier. We're going to talk about that briefly while we watch something else that's more.
I was going to say, frankly, it's also another thing that we're doing another post show for this
right
later on,
but we're going to talk about this right thing now. I'm watching now later behind a paywall. Fightful Select, $5.99 a month. It's totally a bargain, but but other things are happening. So Kate, you want to do your spiel?
Well, this right here, this is your NXT Battleground post show. So get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. It is May 25th. I have humper chat access. The match we're watching now is a humper. Anarchy is happening in an arena, but on the NXT side, Trick Williams, new TNA champion.
Yeah.
Inamora coming back. Luca Crucifino back from the dead, Alex.
I mean, theoretically, yes.
Zombie Luca, I'm here for it.
Okay, well.
Jordan Grace and Steph with a great match. We are going to kind of zip through this because Sean will be on the main talking later about.
Yeah.
We're not known for being pithy is what I'm saying, but today we're going to be on the shorter side. Thank you to Jim for this generous super chat saying first anniversary of my Fightful membership, celebrating with Kalex, the best tag team in wrestling. Wow.
Yep.
We try not to hurt people, but we do appreciate that. And we do, humbly think that we are tag team gold, and we appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Feel free to get in your super chats and humper chats, whether you want to talk about Anarchy in the Arena, something else on Double or Nothing, or of course this NXT PLE, which we will dig into. Alex.
Yeah.
Ups and downs tonight. You're just giggling because you're watching Anarchy in the Arena.
I'm watching a duel between two staple guns. I'm sorry, but you know. One man is dressed like the Predator, and another man is dressed like Alexander Hamilton, and they're having a duel with staple guns, and I feel like it's less important what we're about to talk about, but Sol Ruka and Kalani Jordan did have a good match, better than their first one when Kalani was champion. This one was Sol as champion. Oh, that's you shouldn't do that. No, that the Predator just took a staple gun to the tongue, and you never want that to happen if you're the Predator. Anyway. Kalani Jordan has have hair nice and tight with the braids and everything, and the cornrows look really good. It was a totally different version of Kalani Jordan than we saw last year. Really like it a lot. I thought this had good moments in it, and I think it was intentional. They were calling back at the beginning of the match to a lot of the stuff they were doing
yes
in the first match we didn't like, which was, you know, gymnastics.
Sure.
And then they were like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do gymnastics. Maybe we should actually try and fight each other. And when that happened, it actually got really good. There was one of the most damnedest things I think I've ever seen, which was the top rope avalanche X Factor
that Soluka did on Kalani Jordan.
Like, Kalani went at this angle, face first into the canvas, like no protection whatsoever. And that was a badass move. Really cool. And a hell of a soul snatcher to win it. Zelta helped Soul evade the split-legged moonsault, and she pulled her out of the way, and so the ref kicked her out, but the match ended like 30 seconds later, so it really didn't affect anything. So I guess they're not like gonna break up on Tuesday, so I guess that's good. This was better than I thought it was going to be 3 minutes in. I'll say that.
Yes. So it almost felt like there were some jitters. I don't know if that was the impression you got, but I think to me, what I appreciated so much about this match, God, I love Willow Nightingale. What I appreciated about this match, God, I love Kalani Jordan and Sol Ruka, was there was definitely a concerted effort to say, like, this chapter is completely different than the first chapter because we were both different wrestlers now. And I felt like for Kalani especially, she hit hard in this. And I think it was to prove that exact point. And I like that. And the gymnastics that we were not so fond of in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, it almost felt like a nod to that. But it also, the way they were going about it, it was kind of like, oh, I'm not going to be able to beat you with this style anymore because you're a different animal than I faced last time. So I liked that about it. It was very clumsy in parts, if that's fair to say, especially up front. It almost just felt like they were overkill on adrenaline. Is that Hook? No, that's who is in the Kenny hoodie.
I guess I'm like a minute behind you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil it for you.
I don't know. It's gotta be. Yeah, that's Hook. That's Hook.
Okay. I was like, who's in the kit? I was like, that's not Gabe. Gabe is beefed up.
Hook, noted ex-NXT wrestler Hook. But yes, it was
like they were just going so fast in the beginning. One of them just kept being a half a step off. But once they settled in, it got really good. I'm glad they are going slow burn on the Zarya and Soul breakup, because that story should be longer because of how high the potential is.
Yeah.
There is now anarchy that has just infiltrated the arena so much. I can't even describe
so much
the ways in which there are anarchy arriving in the form of Gabe Kidd.
Describe the anarchy that's in the arena because
it is in the arena, Alex.
Because of how anarchical. I don't know. Anarchical. Well, yeah. The thing about this is that it really shows you how they structure the pay-per-views. And I mean, because WWE chose to put this on directly opposite Double or Nothing, which was scheduled and announced months before they announced this, I think it's only right that we compare and contrast. It was 8 minutes into the women's match that started it for the women on AEW, that they finally started this one.
Yeah.
This one got over before that one did. You know, like, it's just, that's just how they do
with
stuff.
That, I don't really have a problem with that because, one, I mean, on the flip side of the coin, like, Mercedes and Jamie Hayter are...
Well, I'm not even talking so much about the length of the matches. I'm talking that it took 8 minutes for them to start their first match. And the other one had already been started 8 minutes prior. So, yeah. You know, I'd rather get right into the action, but that's just me.
Sure. No, I'm the same way. I don't normally have like a major issue with counter programming. Today, I was very annoyed for some reason. Cause I was like, you are just punishing the people that care about wrestling, like as a whole.
The people who care about all wrestling. Get
punished. Which are the people that you kind of want to foster, right? So
you would think.
Ricardo's saying, just saying hi and that I love you both. We love you, Ricardo. Thank you for being so wonderful to us. And Cyclops saying, everyone's a heel in the women's division. I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I don't think you can say Sol Ruka's a heel at this point. And I don't think you can say Stephanie Vaquer or Jordynne Grace are heels. But yeah, they seem to be coinciding a lot of the mandatory you must have a heel run before you go to the main roster.
That part
happens to be happening all at the same time, which, you know, you don't need to do that, you know. It doesn't happen all the time, but yeah.
It is the way the cookie crumbles. But the anarchy is nuts. The X Factor from the top rope is something that is such a for the things that Sol Ruka is capable of, that's a much more simple move. That does, it looks like it packs so much more punishment than a regular X Factor, because you're just dropping someone on their face. Right. And to do that from the top rope is, it's not anarchy.
Yeah,
but
no,
like
not at all.
I love when things are simple that add a ton more impact. And that was one of those things that looked more simple for someone of Sol Ruka's caliber to do.
Sure.
That added a lot more impact. Yeah. Allie said she's crying at the My Mom Loves Claudio sign. I didn't see that. That's incredible.
It's a great sign.
I also love Claudio.
Yeah. I
wish he wasn't your mom, in a shitty fashion.
Your mom would love Claudio too if she only got to know him.
It's true. It's true.
I didn't realize this was an ambulance match.
It's just, it's good to use one when you have one hanging around, you know?
I guess.
Why not?
All right. So the second match was the six-man nobody asked for. which was the shortest match on the card and involved Double Vest hitting a giant lariat on the Beej. And then the Beej got pinned. And then Inamura came back.
Yes.
Inamura came back with a chair. Izzy Dame went to get a chair, but it was being held on the other end by Inamura, who we thought was back in Japan. But he was a big sloppy man hug with Briggs afterwards, and so that's that. Honestly, this match had no business being on this card, none. Do it on Tuesday. I wouldn't mind, but it had there were no stakes, and who cares?
Especially when Starks and Ethan Page were not on the card,
right?
Like that. Yeah. That made that more glaring to me. Didn't mind because Nigel McGuinness was wrestling on my other screen. So I said, okay, if you want to do this to me all night, I can ride with that.
Put the match nobody cares about opposite a match that you need to see every frame of. I totally get that. That's good for you. But also just when you're creating the card for a pay-per-view, just how about have matches that nobody cares about? Because I don't know how it's possible to care about
it. I'm not blinking. I'm not blinking for the moments that Nigel McGuinness is on my screen. He's still really good, Alex. And we'll talk about that on the other post show doing.
That guy's ready for a full-time run. He's ready for a full-time run right now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. My only thing with this is... One, I'm glad Inamura's back. The tag team division needs teams like that. I don't know if they were like, hey, can we extend his run or what? But I thought it was really fun that he is sticking around and he was like, psych. I like a lot of the members of the Culling, and I wish their characters were something bigger than ineffective cult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I don't need ineffective cult.
No, they're really not very cult. They're more like a multi-level marketing scheme. They're really...
an MLM, if not a cult?
I mean, really, like that's... But I mean, it's not... There's really no religious aspects to it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's just like, hey, tell two friends, and then they tell two friends, and then they tell two friends, and everybody pays me $19.95, and I make money. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like more than anything else. But I mean, it was fine.
I still feel like you should be effective at winning if you are a group of people.
I mean, I guess so. Speaking of being ineffective at winning, or hey, everybody, we're back to normal. HBK sucks again. Isn't that great? isn't it great to feel home again where HBK can suck again? Because
it was getting weird. It was like, getting weird for a while, Alex.
It's such an obvious good thing and correct thing to do with this specific match on this specific card. Tony D'Angelo versus Channing Stacks Lorenzo. And we don't know where Luca is. And we don't know where Big Ange is. And it's just down to Tony D versus Stacks for control of the family. So the obvious thing to do, because it doesn't make any sense for Tony D to win here, because that just is status quo. You need to actually change something up here. Everybody could obviously see that. So you have Stacks win. And the best way to do that is to have Luca and Big Ange. I'm going to say that again. Luca and Big Ange show up Tony D to think they are there to help him. And then they are actually there because they are turning on him and siding with Stacks. And that is why Stacks wins.
Correct.
And they did part of that, but in dumb ways. So, like, Big Ange, nowhere to be seen. I have no idea what else she is. Luca comes back and stands there and just looks stoically at goings-on in the ring, so that Tony D can stand there with his legs splayed wide open, waiting to get kicked in the balls from behind. That man was more bow-legged than Cowboy Adam Page. that's just not, we don't need to do that then. But he gets kicked in the balls and kneed in the back of the head and loses. And then Stacks leaves. And then Luca gets in the ring with his... Is this in fashion? Is this a thing now with suits that you're wear like high waters, where like your suit pants only go up to about go down to about like an inch or two above the ankle, and then no socks and like little slip on shoes? Is that a thing that happens now?
It's extremely European.
It's incredibly European. But he stands there, mm-hmm. and then he stands there, having cost Tony D the match by showing up when he did, and then he holds out his arms for a hug and takes a step in, and Tony D says, no, I'm not gonna hug you, and he leaves. I'm like, so we're gonna do the match again, but it's Tony D versus Luca this time, and this time Big Ange comes back, and like, why are we dragging all of this out? Just do it now, do the whole thing now. Tony D loses Tony D's last match in NXT, and then on Monday he goes up to the main roster to join forces with Seth and Braun and Sons. Like, it's right there. It's perfect. Just do that. And they didn't do it, so it's dumb.
Braun and Sons is incredible. Braun Wagner with the chat. Thank you so much for chatting along with us, saying,
thank you.
Not to do with NXT, but just thought the best names for Seth's faction rather than the Seth Riders, they should be called the Varsity Bronze, which is fantastic on the subject. Like, they're going to rehire Braun Strowman again just to join that faction. Mm-hmm. With the anarchy that was happening in the arena, did you see that Mark Briscoe was dressed as Eddie Kingston? He had the Yankee cutoff tee and was bleeding. He was a gas can away. This is very sweet.
I love that bleeding counts as part of the costume to be
in the anarchy. It's on. Where's my action figure? It's on the action figure. He's bloody.
You know what's fantastic about the whole thing is that we know because it's been confirmed. Mark Briscoe is leaving for a while, and he was in a match tonight. We're going to talk. I'm going to be angry about this on the other show, but I'll just mention it now. Mark Briscoe was in a stretcher match that he lost, and then was able to come out later, cosplaying a different dude, and help the winning team win, and then stands tall at the end of the Anarchy Arena match with all the winners, and which is a perfect way to go out, I would say, if you're going to take some time off. Anyway,
well, I'm going to say the stretcher made it to the hospital.
I'm gonna be angry about it later. I'm gonna say that I'm gonna be angry about Tony D'Angelo. Spending, like this, you don't need to drag out the storyline. It was perfectly timed. It was really well set up. You built really well to the match they had tonight. Just do all of the stuff tonight. Don't do some of the stuff weirdly tonight and then do some more stuff Tuesday and then the more stuff Tuesday after that and drag it all the way out to when you're going to do... They don't have a match happening at Worlds Collide because neither Stax or Tony D is a lucha. So,
well,
like,
we know the lucha exists. Let's not forget that.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, kind of like in the same way... I think on Tuesday I said you can't really do like a they get back together thing because they're a mob family. So if you blow this off, you have to blow this off and like not be like, but down the line they made up, because that's not how mob family stories should go.
Not usually, no.
This is the same as that of like you can't drip the breakup of a mob family betrayal where murder was in play.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. So I agree with you on that front.
Yeah.
I don't know what's down the line for Tony D, so it's hard for me to say. Like, this definitely felt like a bad call. I love Kyle O'Reilly so much. But like it definitely shouldn't take long. But I'm like, is Tony D going to the main roster? Is he getting other secondary guys? Like, what is the plan there? I think determines a lot of how this is gonna go. But Ryan Cicchini saying Sol and Lonnie showed so much growth this past year. They really, really have. They really, really have.
For sure. Yeah.
Kalani has transformed into, we've talked about it at length, but like to the point of that chat, Kalani especially has transformed into a wrestler, not like not a freak athlete, a wrestler. Right. And I love seeing that fire from her. I love seeing that fire from her. And I love seeing fire from Kyle O'Reilly always. He is so charming, Alex. Mm-hmm.
Bunk Funk saying, Kate, we're so glad you survived last night. We didn't know where you were. I told the chat during the Saturday Night's Main Event review last night that all I knew was that you were supposed to be doing bridesmaid stuff, and then that you weren't returning any of my DMs. So we were worried about you because bridesmaid stuff, according to the movies, is having horrible explosive diarrhea while shopping for dresses. So we were just worried about you when you didn't return the DMs. So now you're fine. We're back. We're here ready to review more of Battleground. Stephanie Vaquer defeated Jordynne Grace. When this match was on now and not in the main event, it kind of spoiled the result.
Yes, agreed.
So
for both matches, actually.
For both matches. I thought Jordynne Grace had to do a lot of literal heavy lifting. She was walking around with Stephanie Vaquer on her back for most of the match, so she was pretty gassed by the end of it. But this was very, very good. These are two of the top three, or at worst, top five women's wrestlers in the entire employ of WWE. They should both be on the main roster. Like, the fact that, like, maybe Jordynne Grace goes up there and beats Zelina Vega on Friday, please, I'm begging you. But, like, if we're not doing that, then she doesn't need to be in NXT anymore. And Stephanie Vaquer, I guess they said, we're gonna hand the division over to her for a while and have her, when she loses that title, it's going to be a major...
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand, through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Rub for whoever actually ends up beating her. That's all well and good, but like you could easily restructure the entire women's division, and like these women, and probably a couple other ones who are still in NXT, could easily be on the main roster, and some women on the main roster could definitely do for some time back down in NXT. I'm not gonna name names, but we know who we're talking about.
There are certainly some.
This was a very good match. I can't tell you how much I hate that particular move by Stephanie Vaquer has become just a thing for the Rubes to goon over. I hate it. I the fact that like that Jordan Grace had this amazing counter to it the first time it was attempted on her, and then it was just Booker T being like, "What the hell? What the hell? What the hell? What the hell?" Because his particular thing that he gets his jollies off of was denied him. Not about the women wrestling the match, but because he wasn't allowed to go, it actually affronted him in particular. I hate that. Like, I hate it. Good for Jordan Grace for refusing to take that move that time. No woman should ever take that move if the response is going to be a bunch of rubes in the crowd gooning over you, and also Booker T's stuff.
It's also just like a kind of dumb move, honestly. Like, it's not
impactful. It's not a thing. It's just, you know,
it's not that great. It's pretty easy to counter. It seems silly. There was, and I try not to be like Charlotte the no seller, but Julia went to do a standing twisting neck breaker on her, which I think is one of the very best moves in the world that she didn't sell. Yeah. And I was like, more of that stuff, please. But I'm a techer nerd, so we know that. This match was really, really good. When you said that about Jordan, I was like, yeah, she literally carried Steph on her back. Like,
literally carried her on her back.
Such a decent proportion of it. I agree that please send Jordan Grace up to the main roster. And like, at this point, I'm like, why did you take it off of Chelsea? Because like, Jordan Grace facing Chelsea, Jordan Grace has an incredible sense of humor. Like, she could do some really funny work with Chelsea and beat her. And you made Chelsea, I was like, well, they probably want to protect her. And I was like, protect her. She lost more than she won when she had the damn title. So they should have like never taken it off Chelsea, put it on Jordan, because then I would get Jordan and Alba Fyre and Jordan and Piper Niven. Are you kidding? With those matches too. So, but all that to say, this match was quite good. It was funny when you mentioned that Jordan got gassed. I was like, this match shouldn't have gone on a minute longer. This was like, it went to the fullest extent of both of their capabilities. And the same was true for AEW with Mercedes and Jamie, because they beat the tar out of each other, and they were cooked by the end of that. Not like in a statement way, but I think they were just throwing bombs. So I was like, all the ladies giving their all tonight. Yeah. Was very encouraging to see. It's pretty wild in that, like, I've seen so many people say, like, build AEW around Willow and Mercedes, and I've seen so many people say NXT is built around women's wrestling. Like, that is cool. That's cool to be able to say in 2025. This match was great. I wasn't fully surprised by the result. You have to now figure out what to do with Jordan Grace. I feel like sending her to the main roster is probably the best idea, because she was not supposed to be long for NXT anyway.
Right.
So, excuse me. So I think that is the way to go. And I also think, Alex.
Yeah.
So many people are split screen tonight. Yeah. Watching it. Peacock, watching pay-per-views, watching across so many devices.
Oh, yeah, and for sure.
The thing about them is I want them to feel emotionally safe to do that. I want them to feel secure, you know? And what better way to secure things than with our friends at NordVPN? If I can find the ad read, where is it? Do we only have this old one?
Probably.
Oh, no. Do we only have a... You're going to get an old one. It's it's evergreen. But it's an old one.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits. But if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We love Nord.
We do. We do.
Tyrone said, my condolences, because while Anarchy in the Arena happened, you guys had to sit and watch Trick become TNA champion. Doesn't sound even. We've been watching both. And Trick becoming TNA champion, I think, is actually probably the right call. But we're going to get to all of that and more. Get in your super chats and humper chats. Subscribe to Fightful Select. We've had scoops up back there all day. We had news that Santana was showing up. He did show up here.
He did.
Hammerstone's backstage at this pay-per-view. I'm going to talk
a little bit about the Santana being interviewed backstage, because the thing that we got out of that was Charlie Dempsey comes up and he's like, I don't like all you outsiders coming in or whatever. And Tavion Heights is there. And he says, hey, no, respect. I respect you, Max Santana. I would love it if I could step in the ring with you on Tuesday. And Santana says, yes, let's have a match. So Tavion Heights versus Santana on Tuesday. That's the beginning, I believe, of Mike Santana winning the TNA title from Trick Williams. That's the thing that's going to happen. But not anytime soon, but that's the thing that was going to happen starting on Tuesday. However, the main thing is this. Because I'm watching on two shows, and I'm flicking back and forth, and at the time, I had Battleground over here. And I had Double or Nothing here. So I'm looking up here, I'm looking up here, I'm looking up here, and I go, Roman Reigns? And it wasn't Roman Reigns. It was Tavion Heights in a man bun. Tavion Heights in a man bun out of my periphery looks 100,000,000% like Roman Reigns. But even if you're actually looking at him, like you're really getting a look at him, he looks so much like Roman Reigns. He looks like somebody playing Roman Reigns in a Lifetime movie about Roman Reigns. Like he, with the man bun, it looked exactly like Roman Reigns. I was shocked, honestly. I was shocked at how much he looked like Roman Reigns.
Mike Santana versus the Tribal Chief. We are here for that.
Okay.
I had a lot of moments like that where my commentary on one was not matched with the match that was going on. So it would be like, Rainmaker, and I was like, Miles Bourne does not do a Rainmaker. Like, what are we talking about? That's always fun when you're dual watching.
Obafemi versus Miles Bourne. This is one of those things that my blind spot, spoiler alert for you, my blind spot during the Double or Nothing review is going to be, unfortunately, Tony versus Mina Shirakawa. I watched very little of that match because I watched every frame of Obafemi versus Miles Bourne, because for two reasons. Obafemi is a top two professional wrestler in the employ of WWE right now. Right now. Top two. I don't even know who's number one. I'm giving that person, whoever that is, the benefit of the doubt, because Obafemi's basically been doing this for like 18 months. But he's that good right now of all the stuff, because he told a full story in this match.
He really did.
Not really taking Miles Bourne seriously, like respecting that he's an athlete, but knowing there's zero chance you can beat me. And they told the story. That story in this match, Miles Bourne would like fight out of something, or he'd like he wouldn't let Oba do a move to him, or he'd fight out of a rest hold. But immediately after that happened, Oba would like put him right back down. And he'd be like, you just don't take no for an answer, do you, kid? Like, he literally at one point said, too easy. Too easy. But he did it in a way that didn't feel horribly disrespectful. It felt like, I am the best there is, and nobody can beat me. And it's good that you are giving me this fight, but no matter how good the fight is, I'm going to beat you. And every time Miles Bourne did something to counteract something that was being done by Oba Femi to Miles Bourne, Oba had an answer for it. But every time that happened, he got a little more frustrated. And then one time, the same thing happened. He picks him up on his shoulders and he falls back into the corner. Miles Bourne does. So Oba, frustrated, turns around and sprints full speed into the corner and rams his shoulder into the post. It's a thing we see in every match. The guy run in, sprint, hit his shoulder in the post. But the specific reason why it had to happen in this match was finally, he was so frustrated that his thing of, I'm going to put you down after you counteract the thing I'm doing to you, that got him in trouble because he got so frustrated, he stopped thinking and did something without actually realizing what the consequences could be. And that was where the match turned. And Miles Bourne now was on the offense. And oh boy, was this a coming out party for Miles Bourne.
Yep.
Like, that was friggin' great. And this is a point where I go, okay, HBK, let's not do a thing that your best buddy Triple H likes to do. Do not let him slide back down into the mid-card. Do not let him just be a guy in a faction or a guy in a tag team. Because he proved tonight he can hang with one of the top dudes in the entire company. He really can. He played a great baby face, but also has the chops and the strength to be a main event dude. He wasn't just underdogging it. He wasn't being Leon Ruff from 2019.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy really doing something. He hit Oba Femi with a Randy Orton power slam off running out of the corner that was tight as. Like, it was a really, really good move. And Oba Femi does such a great job at selling just the right amount for stuff early in the match and then at the midpoint of the match so that when he sells differently at the end of a match, it means something.
Correct, yeah.
So many big guys spend their entire career selling the same way if they take a drop kick in minute two. Then if they take a big move in minute 17.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, he's totally different. So he wins with the fall from grace. Then he does the couch toss.
Yeah.
Then fall from grace. Then another fall from grace to get the pin on Miles Bourne. And here's what I love too. After he gets the pin, he is spent.
Yes, I was going to point that out too.
It pushed him to his limit. And he goes, getting out of the ring is a chore. He takes a few steps and then he turns around and he sees Miles Bourne standing there looking at him. He doesn't go back in the ring and help him to his feet and hold his hand up. He just nods slightly. Good for you, kid. I don't want to have to face you again. And he leaves. Doesn't say anything, but that little nod is more than enough. Such great stuff.
I let me know if you see what I see. I
see it.
A wild one. Everything you said about the end was like almost where I wanted to start. I was like, I don't want him to do the hand raise, but I want him to do the show of respect thing. And he did. He just like looked at him, nodded with like a really slight smirk. And then when he was walking, his walking was labored with this, like this, that like when you're so tired, you're drunk feeling. Like, it had one of those and it was so great. And from where he started in the beginning of the match, I think the Gunther comparison is frequent, but I think it's applicable with stuff like this. because that's the same secret sauce there. Where he got in trouble was perfect. Miles Bourne kicking out of the powerbomb, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it was good.
And you're right in that he showed he could hang. And something I noticed in the match was, like, Miles Bourne has some size to him. He was an underdog, but it wasn't like super little guy versus big guy. He's nowhere near Obafemi size, but he has some size to him. Also was laughing at the, like, he's not even trying to beat the Randy Orton allegations because he didn't do the hand thing.
No.
Tilted in the beginning, but in the beginning he put both arms up and I was like, we see you.
Yeah.
We see you. But if you don't have enough power in your bum.
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. And you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam, and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Okay. All right, let's zip through this because Hangman Ospreay is going to start.
Tyrone Kidd says, Mike Santana versus my quarter catch chief.
That's cute.
And yes, Cielo Delgado says Santana's going to beat Trick in his hometown at Slammiversary. That seems to be the way I would go. This was. Trick winning is the right call. Joe Hendry, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him doing anything anywhere else, but this was the least impressed I've been by him in the ring. Like, man, just a guy, just a dude. Don't get it. Haven't gotten it. But no, just a thing.
Off. It felt like him and Trick just didn't have chemistry. And when you have Oba and Miles being so great, and you have Steph and Jordan Grace on the card, and Trick's last PLE performance was so great in that triple threat with Javon and Oba.
Yeah.
I kind of had expectations for this, but they weren't that high. And this just, it felt very much just like a match. Well, it did not feel like a PLE main event at all.
It felt like it needed to be more because it was so momentous.
Right.
It feels like Joe Hendry would want this to be a major thing because he is defending the TNA title on an NXT, a WWE NXT PLE. It's a major thing for the brand and for him. It's definitely not him losing in 3 minutes to Randy Orton. He's supposed to, like, this is a chance. They gave him like 15 minutes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was how long was this?
The TNA president was there and everything. I think the build really hurt this because it didn't feel like an in-ring story came across. And I feel like that was because they relied on the framework of this guy raps and this guy does music way too much. Like, I did not at any point feel like it did not feel like Joe Hendry was fighting for his life to protect the TNA title from Trick Williams at all in this whole build. And like, if you're going to do all this inter-promotional crossover, you should have some pride. It doesn't need to be Survivor Series. What color t-shirt are you wearing?
Right.
But like, you don't get to just walk into the promotion that I have the title for and win my title is certainly something that should play into it. And instead we got your Carmelo's bitch. It just didn't. I feel like the in-ring didn't live up because the story going into it was not great. And I don't know, man. Not good showings for Joe Hendry on NXT television. Like, it just, he has been made to feel like a big deal.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to declare a moratorium personally on refs stopping guys from using the belt. to hit somebody with. Yeah. We saw it last night with John Cena. We see it again here. Like, if they want to get DQ'd, let them.
Yeah.
What the hell does it matter to you? If they want to get DQ'd, let them get DQ'd. Like, the idea that Trick would bring in the belt and be so blatantly dumb that think he could hit a guy with the belt and not get DQ'd right in front of the ref, to me,
let him be that stupid.
Let him be that dumb. And so he wrestles it away from him. And then after you get it, you just drop it on the floor. You drop it on the canvas in the middle of the ring to allow a dude to get flapjacked onto. And then he does. I mean, you get it away from the guy, just toss it out of the ring.
Sure.
At that point, you leaving it on the ground means that you made the mistake. And so
this is pervs for the belt grab.
I don't get it.
Device.
But I will say Trick Williams did the worst spinneroonie I've ever seen.
No, it was so bad.
And then they made Booker T be like, that's what I'm talking about. No, man, you hated that. You had to have. That was terrible.
Don't pretend. You don't have to BS us, man.
Don't allow that. But yeah, he hits the flapjack, and his forehead misses the belt by about 6 inches, but it's fine. It was in the neighborhood, I guess. And then he stands up, and then he gets a Trick knee in the face, and he loses. So Joe Hendry pinned. Trick Williams is the TNA champion. And I guess fine. But this is an important thing for Trick Williams. He's now the face of TNA for a few months. Let's see what he does with that.
Something meaningful. And if it has to be elsewhere because the booking is clogged in NXT, that's okay. But Will Ospreay's entering, so we're going to go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, if you have anything to add, I think I pretty much summed it up.
Yeah, I do think Santana and Trick Williams has potential to be really, really good. I will say, sure. Like, both of their energies and their approaches on the mic, and I think the in-ring will hold. I think it'll deliver. So I am actually looking forward to what this led to. Just the way we got there was just not great.
No.
On a card that had good matches with like Steph and Jordan and Oba and Miles, it felt just like, meh.
Yeah.
This wasn't it. Hangman has glow gear and pinkish jeans on, and Will Ospreay is about to enter. So we're going to get out of here. Sean, we'll have your post show here for Double or Nothing. We will have your post show behind the paywall. Mm-hmm. Thanks for hanging out with us with our express review. We're going to go watch this main event, and then we will see you shortly after as we continue to roll through this weekend. Subscribe to Fightful Select for all the scoops you want. We'll see you behind the paywall.
Bye, everybody. Keep cool, gabagools.
Yeah.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.